This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Italy is in turmoil today over the euro. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishort in for David Brancaccio. Over the weekend, a coalition of populist right-leaning parties was preparing to put together a government in Italy. That was derailed when the Italian president, Sergio Mattarella, vetoed their choice for finance minister, a politician who the Italian president feared would push Italy to leave the euro. Joining us is the BBC's Andrew Walker. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Sabri.
So can you just set this up for us? Who are these two sides? We have the Italian president on one side, the government on the other.
We have a coalition of the Five Star Movement, a populist political party, and the League. They got enough support in the election to command a majority between them in Parliament, and they were being asked to form a government. The nomination of a finance minister, who has in the past described the Eurozone as a German cage, and ultimately feels that Italy should be outside the Eurozone with its own currency. His appointment was vetoed by the, frankly, relatively establishment figure of the Italian president, and the coalition, as a result, decided they were not going to go ahead, and we now have a situation in which a former senior economist at the International Monetary Fund is being asked to form an interim technocratic government.
So what does this mean for Italian politics? What happens now?
Well, there will be further elections. Leaving the Eurozone was not a campaign commitment of the parties that subsequently managed to get a parliamentary majority. And I think the fact that this would-be economy minister, Paolo Savona, does take the view that Italy should be outside the Eurozone might well feature more prominently in the campaigning whenever it gets going for the next election.
What does this example say about the health of the EU and the Eurozone more broadly? Is this some sort of harbinger of political conflict elsewhere brewing in Europe?
Well, there certainly is a lot of political conflict in Europe about migration issues, the degree to which people feel alienated from the EU. And the most extreme case of that, of course, is the UK and the decision to leave the EU altogether. The euro as a currency is, for the most part, relatively popular. So I don't see any immediate prospect of widespread moves towards breaking the eurozone apart, the case of Italy notwithstanding. And it's also important to remember that the markets are not in anything like the kind of condition they were when the eurozone crisis was at its most intense back in 2011 and 2012. Government borrowing costs, which was one of the most obvious signs of stress, were much, much higher then than they are now.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sabri.
The Italian stock market is down 2.3%. Markets in the U.S. and London are closed for public holidays. $18 million people visit Amsterdam every year. That is up from 11 million in 2005. The local population, mind you, is just 850,000. So when Dutch locals are so outnumbered, how do they maintain any sort of local life? As John Lawrenson reports from Amsterdam, the city has some ideas.
Wheelie suitcases. Amsterdammers like Tsitsi Bakker are fed up with tourists.
It's terrible, too many of them. It's changing everything. Less neighbours, less shops.
And less neighbours?
The Dutch? They're moving out, I think.
And how are they being replaced?
They are renting the places, or they're buying to rent them. It's changing the structure of the population.
Some English gents relaxing in one of the red light district bars. Amsterdam attracts a lot of cannabis tourism and stag parties. The city has banned beer bikes, basically bars on wheels, that used to leave trails of urine and vomit around town. It's also limiting the number of days owners can rent out their properties to 60 a year, and is planning to increase the room tax by as much as $15 a night. It's also banned new hotels, even stores. Udo Kok, Amsterdam's deputy mayor.
We will no longer allow new shops that cater to tourists. We have closed down a few shops, but of course that has been challenged by these companies in court.
In the street leading to Amsterdam Central train station, there are three stores where everything's in English, selling typical Dutch Gouda cheese, vacuum-packed, so you can take it home. The builders were still working on the third of these stores, the Amsterdam Cheese Company, when the ban on new shops came into effect. The owner, Quirin Kolf, had already invested heavily in the store, and he's fighting the decision.
The romantic idea of a street where there's a bakery or a butcher, you know, that is changing, and it's certainly changing in this street. So I don't know if closing a high-end cheese shop is going to make that any better.
But Amsterdam is moving ahead with tough anti-tourism measures, and some want it to go further with a total ban on Airbnb. In Amsterdam, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
The FBI says Russia-linked malware has infected hundreds of thousands of internet routers. It's capable of blocking web traffic, collecting information that passes through these routers, even disabling them. There are some things you can do, the FBI says, including turn your router off and turn it back on again. That should temporarily disrupt the malware. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.